I want to welcome everybody to Awaken Me. If you're joining us on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. via KWAM, you can also catch us at Jesus Helps. That's HELPS.me. And get the sermon that we're going to hear in just a minute from our brother that's been serving in the underground church there in Saudi Arabia for many, many years. So whether you catch the sermon in person, I'm glad to see your smiling faces at 6 a.m., or whether you're going to join us on Sundays at 10 a.m., or right there in your living room, if you're looking for something other than TV to watch, it'd be great to just go to JesusHelps.me and tune in with us there.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of
I think the first thing I would like to do is let's pray for just a second. As we think about the state of our city, we think about the come apart in our society. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning we do have a heavy heart. We have a heavy heart for our city. Father, the senseless violence and crime that so many of our citizens endured that was brought to the forefront by this Eliza Fletcher kidnapping. Father, I can't imagine the unbelievable pain her children, her husband, her parents and grandparents are feeling. Lord, we do just lay them at the cross this morning. Father, we lay our whole city at the cross. There are many who have been suffering violence that don't make the news. And Father, our city is having to come apart because we have turned our back on you, basically. So Jesus, we don't know what to do with all this pain, but lay it at your feet. Knowing that you are good God, knowing that you're in control of all things. So, Father, use this pain to draw people unto yourself, that your Son Jesus may be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.
Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Yes, we believe. believe. They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that. Tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name.
Move the immovable. Yes, we believe. We believe. We believe. We know that hope is never lost. For there is still an empty grave. God, we believe. No matter what, there is power in your name. So much power, power in your name. We lean immovable, break the unbreakable, God. God, we believe for and from the impossible. We'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for and move the immovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe for and from the impossible. We'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for and God, we believe. God, we believe for and.
Good morning, everyone. I consider it an honor and a privilege to introduce Wilson Sathya. I met Wilson on a Wednesday night. He came to our church, and I told him about Awaken, and the next thing you know, he was coming here. He's a dear friend. Amen.
Thank you, Kenneth. You know, it's so wonderful to hear what God is doing in our life and in the city of Memphis and all around the world. And start off today's worship with that foundational song, What a Friend I Have in Jesus. Thank you, brother. It reminded me the days that I spent with my mother, my father, where they taught me how to pray and trust the Lord. They taught me to sing the hymns and express my feelings. I get emotional when I'm talking about my parents. It's just that the seed they put in us has grown and given us an opportunity to be bold, be effective where we are put. You know, that's, and I thank God for them. Though they stay away from me, miles away, I'm still with them, and I'm with them in the fellowship with the Lord. So, for us, text this morning, I'm going to take from Matthew chapter 16. It's a very familiar text for all of us, and I would like to read from NKJ version, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind in on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day, O Father Lord. As we meditate on this word, O Father Lord, I pray and I thank you, God, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given us to be indulged in your word, be submerged in your word, O Father Lord, as we listen to the Spirit speaking, O Father Lord, I submit myself into your hands. You lead us, you lead me and guide me, O Father Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our thoughts, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I'm just taking up from last week when we heard Bishop Michael speaking, and it was very emotional for him, and my wife Eunice was helping him to put together all his experience in that dark room that he had a couple of years ago, and we have seen a couple of times he's getting emotional on a personal level, but I never seen him getting emotional on a, you know, wider audience. And I saw that it was not a pain. It was an expression of the love of God, an expression of his attitude in him, which helped him to overcome the greatest obstacles of bringing the kingdom of heaven onto this earth. So, I just want to spend some time on this truth that we read this morning, and perhaps it's a reminder for all of us the things that are important for a Christian life. So, this is a setup in the Bible where, you know, these disciples had spent a lot of time with Jesus Christ and having moved with him from place to place, traveling, and as they saw, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, talking about the kingdom of God and also doing miracles, healing the sick, and liberating people from the bondage. When all this is happening, at one point, Jesus comes down, and he turns to his disciple. "Who do the people say that I am?" So, the specifically, he says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And disciples came back and they said, "Hey, look, there's a lot of news going around about you. There's some people say you're the John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah or some other prophet. But this is all untrue. He's the Son of living God." But again, having this relationship with his disciples, he turns around and asks them, "Who do you think the Son of Man I am?" So when Jesus is telling that I am the Son of Man, he is going back and reminding, you know, he's trying to tell to the disciples that he's quoting from Daniel chapter 7. When the Daniel see the vision and he records it and he says, someone as a Son of Man comes from with the cloud of glory, and he's been placed in the court. And when the book is open, the Ancient of Days gives him all dominion, power, and glory, and kingdom. And he gives, and all the nations, languages, and people have to bow before him. His dominion was everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and the kingdom shall not be destroyed. And the authority was given to him and his saints. So Jesus was making this significant statement about himself. And we see that while he was ministering, he continuously referred himself as the Son of Man. So disciples kind of knew that he is the Son of Man, but he made this question to them to understand what is that means to him or all the 12, all the disciples there, what is that it means for them. So this is a question for all of us. Right, so we are born in a Christian families. We have been raised with a Christian parents who are dedicated their life to bring their children up in the fear and the knowledge of Christ. And we have spent our most of our time in the church, hearing the gospel, and we are in the fellowship of people around us. All is okay. What is that, Jesus, for you? How do you understand Jesus from your bottom of your heart? That's where I was telling in the beginning, what a friend we have in Jesus. Is that that him is bringing us a relationship with Christ? Going back to Matthew, Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter declares that Jesus is not the one who has come to say that Messiah is going to come, but he's saying that you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. There's a huge difference, isn't it? There's a huge difference. So in verse 16, Jesus says to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Our identity in Christ and with God is revealed. It's not something which is flown from generations. It is not coming from the race. It is not coming from our experiences. It is not cultural. It's not even biological. What my father or mother has been doing or understanding and living is not what we have received. It is God. It is God who's going to reveal to us. It is not known ahead of time. What Jesus is saying here is, my Father has illuminated your inner person to understand what is hidden in the scriptures. It is not obvious to just read Bible and get a revelation. God reveals when he's speaking to us through the word. When Jesus is asking this question, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? He knows our situation. He knows what flesh and blood can bring to us. And he knows the flesh and blood cannot reveal to us. Even though he knows himself, he is a Son of Man. He is a Son of the living God. But who is this Son of the living God? He is the eternal Word. He is the image of the invisible and infinite God. He is an eternal God who humbled himself to walk as a man in obedience to the Father so that we could learn what it means to live as sons and daughters of God. He walked in absolute union with Father, one with the Father, so that when we see him, we see the Father. He spoke the Father's word. He did the Father's work. He fulfilled the Father's will. He is the Son of the living God. Who is the Son of the living God? He is the one who came to destroy all the works of the devil. He healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out demons, and worked innumerable miracles, and still does the same today. Who is this Son of the living God? He is the one who judges, condemns, disarms, defeats, and crushes the head of serpent, rendering Satan powerless. Doing all this on our behalf and shared his triumph with us. This is the Son of Man, a Son of living God. Who is the Son of living God? He is the one who ushered in the kingdom of God on this earth. He's the one who was dead, who is alive, who has the keys of hell and the grave. He is shown to be the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit and being raised from dead. He is the heir of all things and the one who inherit all things. He's the one who has been set above all things for the church with all authority in heaven and earth, and at whose name every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. He has never been a person like, there has never been a person like this one, and there will be never again. He is the Son of the living God. When Peter made this prophetic statement, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for the flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So Jesus continued in this passage and said two I wills in this passage. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." He made two statements. I will statements. It's very, very specific in the Bible. I will build my church. I will give you, who? You, us, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. When Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of living God," Jesus answered and said, "Petros, you are the stone or a small rock, but on this Petra, this massive rock, I will build my church." Who is Petra? Jesus just quoting what Peter said a while ago. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." On this massive rock, on this unshakable, immovable truth that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the church is built. Many have tried their best to move this Petra. Many have tried their best. Many try to blow out this church. The Petra still stands. The church still stands because it has been built upon this truth, a massive truth, that Jesus is a foundation of this church, a solid foundation. He's not a foundation, a deep-rooted, strong self. Jesus, a foundation. He is the builder of the church. When he is building, no power on this earth has even can come or stand close to this building. Nobody has the power, no power of man, no power on this earth can stop the church being built. He's building, it's continues to be built, and nobody can stop this. So we know we are familiar with this church word in Greek. It says ecclesia, meaning a group of people called out for a purpose. Ecclesia means a group of people called out for a purpose. So we are not called in isolation. We are not called individually. We are called together, meaning we are assembled together. Here we do not forget the purpose we are called for. We are called as one body. We are called as a family. We are called to bring glory to him. So that's when last week testimony was going on, and this picture came into my face, and he said, God can bring people from anywhere. He can displace, misplace, and replace to make sure the church is built. He can take you from this place and he can put you there. And he can, when this your purpose is accomplished, he can pull you out from there and put you in some other place. We have a purpose on this earth, my dear brothers and sisters. The Lord's Prayer had a great impact in my life. While we served, me and my wife and my children served in Saudi Arabia, the Lord's Prayer had a great impact. Thy kingdom comes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He can call you. He can call you. He can call anybody for his kingdom purpose. Our culture is completely different. Our values are completely different. Our values are not the same as the values of this world. It's completely different. We have been called to take the gospel. We have been called to take the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to conquer the darkness. We have been taken into the places where there is full of darkness. When the darkness is heavy, the light brings more brightness. We are called to be the salt and light. We are called to influence the kingdom of heaven, and it's powerful. We are not talking about any kingdom. We are talking about kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. So, our testimonies, what we heard last week, or any of your personal testimony, probably I haven't heard of it, but our testimony always bring glory to God. And it shows how we went against the kingdom of darkness and gave full control of our life to God. So in this passage, Jesus continued to tell us he's building the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When Jesus is building this church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, when we read Old Testament, and we know by understanding that when we say the gates, it shows authority. Who has the gates? Owns the property. Owns the place. This is an assignment for you and me to go to the gates of hell. The church has not been affected by the gates of hell. The church is going to the gates. So I'm trying to understand, did we go to the gate today this morning to come to this place, or the gates came to us? Gate is a stationary object or place. We go to the gates. The gates of hell represents the demonic domination. And the church has to advance there. Wherever there's demonic power or dominion, church is going there. We are assembled, ecclesia, we are called out together to go and wage a war against this working of his devil. If there is sickness, go there. If there is suffering, go there. If there is injustice, go there. We are the church called to advance the gates of hell. When we read this word, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's an attitude, right? We see a lot of people with attitude. We are Christians. We also have some attitude. We go with an attitude with a clear understanding that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. It cannot overpower you. Jesus Christ has already won the battle. The victory is being declared. We just go and proclaim that victory. Any situation. Why? Why the gates of hell should not prevail? The second, I will give you the keys of heaven. Who has the keys? Who? We. What does key represent? Key represent the authority. I just left my car keys on the table. That means I left my authority there. I have no access to my car. If I have a car, if I have a keys, I can go to the car, open it up, ignite it, and go wherever I can. So the church cannot, or the people of his kingdom cannot cry out and say, Lord, we want to wage a war, help us. We go. Why? The keys are in our hand. Why the gates of hell shall not prevail against us? Because the gates, the keys of the heaven, the kingdom of heaven is with us. The church is given the keys. And I'm not denying the sovereign nature of God. He can move above and beyond. But all I want to emphasize, the responsibility that we have as the children of God, as a church. We must acknowledge the keys are put in our hand, which means you bind, you loose, you turn the lock, you turn on the lock, you turn off the lock. Wherever the demonic power and dominion is present, there we are advancing towards it and using our keys against it. This is an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude. The gate shall not prevail. I have the keys. The two big attitude that we should have as Christians. The gates of hell shall not prevail, and we have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19 continues with an interesting note. It says, you bind on earth which has been bound in heaven. You loose on the earth what has been loosed in heaven. Meaning, heaven is already announced. The proclamation is already gone. We just have to enforce it in this earth. It's not earth influencing heaven. It's the other way we are bringing heaven on earth. With the keys on our hand, we have authority. We have right. We have ability to advance the kingdom of heaven on this earth. What is your decision today? Whenever you see any situations in your family, when you see the situation in your businesses, when you see the situation in your church, in your community, what is your attitude? How deep is this revelation from God in your life? In any place, if you see the situation is creating confusion, if you see the situation is creating division or strife, we call the name of Jesus. We use the authority. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. If anything which does not bring this righteousness, peace, and joy, it is not the kingdom of God. So wherever it is, I call this morning to all of us to have this attitude attitude of Jesus, knowing, not only attitude, right? You should know why this attitude comes from. Knowing that Jesus Christ is building this church, He will move you, He will displace you, He will replace you, He will take you to the places unknown. All that we need to have is an attitude. Attitude that the gates of hell shall not prevail, and the keys is in our heart. Amen. Amen. Thank you for this time. I praise God for this opportunity.
As the deer at death bore the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Sing it again. As the deer, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone. Presence, oh Jesus.
want more of you, Jesus. Oh, we long to worship you. Every step, every breath, we long to worship you. Oh, we long to worship you. And we long to worship you. And we long.
Our sister Carol Ward has been here with Memphis Tabernacle and speaking with different groups. She is a long, long friend of the Awaken Me. And one last thing, if you want to catch this, it's on JesusHelps.me with an S. JesusHelps.me. This will be loaded up to the website if you can't listen to it on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on KWAM. Carol?
Thank you, Henry and David and everybody. Good to see you this morning. And I want to encourage you all as we're encouraging one another in our number one calling, and that is to make Jesus known. And the salvation and the harvest is ready. It's not 4 months from now. So I'm actually in South Sudan now. So I handed over Uganda. My permanent address is South Sudan. And Sudan, and I'm going on to Chad. So if anybody want to take over South Sudan, I'll hand it over to you so I can go to Chad. So we're moving northward with the gospel into the darker and darker areas. As I've been over there for 20 years, I can say today, fast forward, started with prayer, but we have 700 indigenous trained missionaries today, Arabic speaking, and we're in 8 nations. I say we. I went over alone when U.S. Embassy said those war zones are off limits. We've evacuated missionaries. You can't go. And I said, well, they didn't ask about the weather and the safety and all that kind of stuff in the book of Acts. They went. And so that's what I've done according to where the Lord's leading, because there's people that have never heard. So when we do spiritual mapping, as I've been encouraging in Memphis, we get a map out. We literally get a map and spread on the table. And we say, who's going to take this zone and this zone and this zone? How are we going to pray? How are we going to invade? How are we going to go into the deepest darkness? We're doing that now with 8 nations. So Central Africa, Ethiopia, Chad, Congo. The goal is the whole northern part of Africa. Lausanne Missionary Movement has said that the greatest harvest coming in right now is in the continent of Africa. We're seeing 5,000 to 6,000 souls a month come to Jesus with discipleship. And that means joining our portable Bible schools, our bush training. But with 700 missionaries, we can activate that. So we have country coordinators and an incredible New Testament church structure. I want to tell you one testimony, though. As I was just finishing a missionary training school the last 2 months in Juba, 240 of our Arabic-speaking missionaries from 8 countries were there for 2 months on the campus. Praise and worship was through the roof. These guys have been beaten and imprisoned for the gospel. And when you say, how many of you are ready to go farther and farther north into regions of terrorism, every hand will just shoot up. Send me. And they will say to us what Jim Elliott's words were, except they don't know Jim Elliott. But it's the gospel. Why wouldn't we give what is temporal to gain what is eternal? Our eternity is secure. Theirs isn't. And if we don't go into darkness, how will darkness ever dissipate? And so they go. So there was a 3-week prayer and fast we were having before this missionary training school started for the terrorism that was going on in Darfur and Khartoum, and asking the Lord, how can we bring the underground church above ground? 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. During that time, the Lord Jesus came in a dream, as we're hearing, to one of the main Islamic terrorists in Khartoum. His name was Mujahid. He was an imam terrorist, and he had burned 118 churches, had many pastors and Christians killed, executed, and imprisoned. And God came to him 4 nights. He didn't know it was God, but somebody came to him, he said, and said, you're on the wrong side of the fence, guy, and you're going to die on that side, and it's dangerous. It scared the fire out of him. So for 4 nights in a row, he finally said, whoever you are, I yield. Now, when he told his imam brothers about that. They knew what he had done. He had defected. And so they terrorized him and threatened him. He ran from Khartoum, ended up in Juba, heard Jesus on our radio station in Arabic, and said, I think I need to go find out what I've just done. He followed the address, came into our station, and as our key leader met him, he's in his long white gown, you know, in his imam attire, he told him what he had just done and introduced him to the true prophet. As he confirmed his salvation that day, our key leader, Gabriel, said, by the way, we have a missionary training school starting next week. Come and join us. God's called you to be mission, to do missions. God never calls us to sit. He calls us to serve. Amen. So Mujahid came into that missionary training school with 240 South Sudanese speaking people living on our campus. And I met him immediately. He comes up to me and he says, can I share my testimony? I said, sure. So that day, he comes up to the platform in front of a 240, well, actually, it was almost 300 by the time we had our staff there. Two men on the either side of him, Sudanese men. And he starts saying, this man, I burned his church down, had him beaten, thrown in prison, and gave orders for his execution. And he's standing right beside him. He said, he found me and recognized me in this Bible school. And he knew who I was and came up and embraced me and said, I have forgiven you for what you've done. He said, this man, I tortured his parents, had them killed, put him in prison, and gave orders for him to be executed. And he was miraculously released. These were two of our own missionaries. And we knew that they'd been through persecution, but we didn't know who the persecutor was. And now Mujahid was standing there, and God was joining the hearts of the persecuted and the persecutor to join missions together. And he said, they came and forgave me, both of them did, and they want to go with me and take me into Northern Africa, and I'm going to take them to the areas of terrorism with the gospel, and we're going to go together. So that is what is happening there. God is turning mission fields into mission forces very rapidly, and we give him glory. So you can get our updates and pray for the move of God and the harvest on this continent. Pick up a book on spiritual warfare. But God bless you. We love you guys, and our hearts are knit. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Please join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on KWAM, the Almighty 990. To hear more messages from pastors and guest speakers of Awaken Me and worship led by Bruce Carroll and Paul Berkus, please visit our website, jesushelps.me. That's jesushelps.me. For questions, comments, or prayer requests, please email awakenme at info@jesushelps.me. That's info@jesushelps.me. Or leave a message at 1-855-775-3787. Once again, 1-855-77-3787. We are an all-volunteer group, so leave a message and we will return your call. Thank you for joining us today at Awaken Me.
This is a Belly of the Whale production.